Messiah, walk on water, hope for the change of the hope.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan like a little girl.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
And that shouldn't be taken as saying a bad thing about little girls, because I know little girls that are tougher than most of you.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
Don't forget, the ever-present and most likely third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. The crowd goes wild, as they always do. This is Stating the Obvious. Global warming has dumped more snow on us here in Fort Collins, Colorado. Last night, so there's snow on the ground from like 8 snows now. Global warming is devastating the world, and I am launching the cruise missile of my intellect, which hones in on and destroys all you dumb motherfuckers who disagree with me. God, I love the sound of explosions. Breaking glass makes me happy. The breaking glass is from the shockwave that radiates out. And of course, if anybody survives, we mow them down with the machine gun. All right, it's been a while since I had the opportunity to do a Stating the Obvious. I've been busy as hell. What, Randy, what is today? Oh, it's... No wonder you were so pissy about coming in today to record. See, I don't do holidays. You know, you gotta remind me. If you'd have said something, maybe I'd have let you off the hook. Today is February 14th, Valentine's Day. That's why Randy is grumpy, because I made her come to the studio so we could record Stating the Obvious. She keeps threatening to force me to learn how to run the sound equipment myself. I'm not going to do it. That's what I have her for. All right. This is Stating the Obvious, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. I am the Great One himself. I am right. I am always right. I have always been right. I will always be right, because I am never wrong. Cynical Libertarian Society is located on the internet at 204eastsouth.com/CLS. You can send us an email if you feel the need to do so by sending that email to god@204eastsouth.com. That's God, G-O-D, dog spelled backwards, arf, arf, at 204eastsouth.com. That always offends, well, not always. I've offended a number of Christians, however, or other religious types by pointing out that God spelled backwards is dog. All right. Unlike lately here on Stating the Obvious, this is not... All right. Trying to collect my thoughts. There's a lot going on. All right. I'm not going to do a lot of reading. This is going to be one of my more favorite kind of Stating the Obvious, where I'm just going to tell you what the hell's going on, and you're going to disagree with me, but I'm not going to care. But I want to start this off, however, by reading, which I just said wasn't going to happen. I want to read something to you. This is from Reason Magazine, the August-September issue of 2009. Yes, I am that far behind. You know, I've mentioned this before. If you read political-oriented magazines, it's always good to be behind on them. And here's why. Because, like, I'm reading right now this issue from August-September of 2009. And, of course, they're talking about things that are going to happen in the next couple of months. And so, since the thing they're saying is going to happen in a couple of months has already happened, it gives you the unique perspective to look at the things they're saying in their magazine and determine whether or not their predictions, such as they are, actually come true. And this, if you're intelligent, which most of you aren't, I mean, let's say, for example, you're reading whatever magazine you read, and you notice that their predictions are never true. This might be a clue to you to stop reading that magazine, because obviously the people writing in it don't know what the fuck they're talking about. This is why I like reading political magazines, you know, 6 months behind the times. Because I see what they said was going to happen, and it's already happened, and so you know if they were right or not. Now, anyway, this has nothing to do with that. This has to do with how fucking great I am. Actually, the entire point of stating the obvious is about how great I am and how stupid the rest of you are. That's why I'm the great one himself, as opposed to the Messiah, Hussein Obama the first and the second, who is only the great one. Or the one, in fact. He's just the one. Now, listen to this. In March, Japan's unemployment rate rose to 4.8%, a four-year high. To ease the competition for jobs, the government says it's willing to pay ethnically Japanese guest workers, mostly the descendants of early 20th century Japanese immigrants to Brazil, to permanently cede their right to work in the country. The state is offering 300,000 yen, it's about $3,320, to the head of each household, plus 200,000 yen, about $2,909 per dependent, to cover the cost of a plane ride back to their country of origin. The plan is unusual, but it isn't unique. Spain, with an unemployment rate of 17.4%, has adopted a similar program. Through participating, immigrants there can return to the country to work after 3 years. And in February, the Czech Republic established 3.2 million... Excuse me. The Czech Republic established a $3.2 million program to purchase one-way tickets for foreigners who can prove they have been laid off and can't find a job. In Ireland, some political parties are proposing a plan to give unemployed foreigners 6 months' benefits if they promise to leave the country. My greatness is truly beyond measure. Now, I have been saying for how long that people in the United States who can't cope with our system of doing things, who can't handle capitalism, who can't handle having to pay for their health care, who can't get a fucking job, who don't like people smoking in public, all these things. How long have I been saying we should have a program where we buy these people one-way airplane tickets to other countries? Have you, who listen to Stating the Obvious on a regular basis, not heard me say that instead of giving the airlines money to bail them out, we should have bailed out the airlines indirectly by paying all the people who hate America to get the fuck out? All of you think that I am racist, sexist, and homophobic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, apparently Japan, Spain, the Czech Republic, and Ireland, apparently the governments of those countries are all racist, sexist, and homophobic too. Because they figured out what I've been trying to tell you for all these fucking years. If you have people in your country who can't fucking cope with it, instead of changing the laws to make it easier for them to cope, and that's part of what we're going to talk about today on Stating the Obvious, instead of giving them welfare and giving them handouts and making it illegal for other people to offend them and all this other shit, send these people to other fucking countries. Countries where they can find the things they're looking for. So I would like to say to Japan, Spain, the Czech Republic, and Ireland, way to go, guys. Good fucking job. Thank you for adopting my plan. Now, if we can just get this plan here in the United States and start shipping some of these fucking Canadians back to Canada. I'm okay with buying them plane tickets. I mean, technically they could drive. Canada's right there. But, Randy, Canada does, they have airports in Canada, right? Because, they're an emerging economy. We can't call them third world countries anymore because that's not politically correct. They do have airports, right? Do they have pavement in Canada? They do. They got that now. They have concrete and pavement so they can make runways. Okay, great. So if we could just get all the fucking Canadians back to Canada. You know what I figured out? I've realized that Canada is like the France of America. And by America, I mean the American continents, North and South America. You know, like as France is to Europe, Canada is to America. I mean, of all the countries on the continent of America, by that I mean North and South America, I have to repeat myself because I know some of you are stupid, Canada is probably the last one that I would want to live in. Now, some of the countries in South America, you know, they may be a little disorganized, you might have to worry about getting mugged or something, but you know what? I'd rather take my chances in a dark alley with a mugger than with the Canadian government, which is going to tax the shit out of everybody. And then they have the French Canadians who want to secede from France. I mean, secede from Canada, except they're French, and so they're too big up a pussies to actually secede. You know, at least in the United States, those of us in the South, we had the balls to say, hey, we're leaving, we're going to make our own country. And of course, the mass-murdering psychopath Abraham Lincoln, who should have been shot much sooner than he was, declared war on us, came down, burned our cities, killed people, and made us an occupied territory of the United States where we continue to be oppressed by you cocksuckers. Now, let's move on. Public transportation. Many people wonder why more people don't use public transportation. One reason people don't use public transportation more in Fort Collins, where I'm from here, is because our public transportation doesn't actually go anyplace useful. If you listened to my comments after coming back, have I done stating the obvious since Portland, Randy? What do you mean you can't remember? You're supposed to. This is what I'm paying you for. Oh, yeah, I don't pay you. Anyhow, okay, so I went to Portland, Oregon. While I was there, I utilized the public transit system to move around. It was incredibly good. I, as a libertarian, I'm normally opposed to public transportation. Not because of the concept of public transportation is necessarily bad, but because public transportation pretty much always costs more money than it should, because public transportation is run by the government, and the government doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. You know, kind of like that $11.7 trillion debt that we have now, thanks to Hussein Obama the first and the second, who is going to bring us fiscal responsibility. Anyhow, why don't more people use public transportation? Here in Fort Collins, I often listen to females lamenting the fact that people don't use public transportation. They drive their cars, they're destroying the environment, blah, 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 blah. It occurred to me, out of the blue, as things often do, because I'm cool like that, the main reason people in places like Fort Collins don't use public transportation is because of women. It's all the woman's fault, as usual. Now you're saying, but great one, how is that? Here's how that is. It's real simple. Chicks. Girls, women, ladies, females. All of you out there, ask yourself this. Do you really, be honest, you don't have to answer, you don't have to answer out loud to anybody who's around, just you're going to be honest with yourself, you're going to know what's going on. Ask yourself, do you really want to go on a date with somebody who's going to pick you up and take you out via public transportation? Are you really going to get married to somebody who utilizes public transportation? Are you going to fuck, as in have sex with, somebody who uses public transportation? Of course you're not. If there's anybody else in the room with you, you're sitting there going, oh yeah, of course, that doesn't make any difference. No, you and I know you're lying. Okay? It's real simple. Chicks dig men who can provide for them. Is that racist, sexist, and homophobic? Yes, it is. It's also true. Okay, women do not marry men, or date men, or fuck men who have less money than they have, less power than they have, less status than they have, and less influence than they have. Yes, I know Hillary Clinton married Bill Clinton, and that is like the one exception to that that you can actually find anywhere on the planet Earth. Okay? So chicks are not going to put out for guys who ride the fucking bus. So it's real simple. If, oh my God, I'm so brilliant. Just wait, hold on. My brilliance is washing over me. Okay, here it is. If you, this is not the brilliant part. The brilliant part's coming. If you want more men to ride the bus and save the earth and all this other horseshit, then you need to put out to men who ride the bus. Now, here's the brilliant part. This just occurred to me. The Democrats are running all these campaigns. You've got, well, not just the liberals. You've got the PETA ad, the State of the Undressed Union or whatever, where the chick takes her clothes off talking about animal abuse. You've got the ad the Democrats ran during the election about don't have sex with people who are going to vote for McCain. And then there's another Democrat promo ad thing that came out, which I need to get up on the blog and I need to comment on, where they are encouraging young people to not have sex with people unless those people support national socialized health care. Democrats, liberals, attempt to manipulate other people into agreeing with them and doing what they want by using sex. Okay, so here you go. If this is the brilliant part, if they're willing to say, I'm only going to fuck people who support socialized medicine, and if they say, I'm not going to fuck people who vote for McCain, and if they're going to sit here and say, well, if you stop abusing animals, you know, I'll take my clothes off and you can say, shit. All right, here you go. If you want people to ride the bus, you need to have sex with them. Where's the campaign for that? And this is, of course, primarily not just liberal Democrats. There's a lot of liberal Democrats that are old, and if they had sex, it would probably kill them. This is primarily the vehicle and primarily the domain of the younger generation of liberal Democrats, otherwise known as the dumbest generation, the medicated generation, the everybody gets an award generation. Their entire life revolves around sex. And I can see myself talking about this in the near future because I actually have a copy of College Avenue magazine. It's this magazine published at CSU by the students, for the students, of the students. And across the cover of the magazine, in big letters, it says, yes, you guessed it, sex. And if the whole magazine is about sex, because, you know, I understand that sex is good. And I understand that this generation is like every other generation, they like getting laid. And I understand there's a lot of animosity thrown towards the medicated generation by old people, because the old people are jealous and pissed off that when they were 17 years old, they didn't have cell phones and internet porn, and, you know, they weren't able to fuck like the generations are today. So I understand all of that. You know, and I see the perspective of the medicated generation. Sex is good, let's have sex, okay? I'm not against sex by any stretch of the imagination. I'm only against sex when I'm not involved. As long as I'm in the sex, it's fine. All right. But nonetheless, this generation is so obsessed with their dicks and their pussies. I mean, seriously, when you're running advertisements where you're asking other people to manipulate their friends, or, I mean, who manipulate whoever they're having sex with into supporting nationalized health care by not having sex with them? I mean, is this really what passes for intelligent debate amongst the medicated generation? I mean, instead of supporting their opinion that we should have socialized medicine with facts, figures, you know, theories, all this, they just say, well, if you don't support socialized medicine, I'm not going to let you have the pussy. I mean, is this what passes for intelligent discourse in the younger generation? And it is. I mean, that's what's frightening. This is not a rhetorical question. I already know the answer. The answer is that yes, blackmailing people by withholding sex is the closest thing the medicated generation has to persuasion skills. And when you have to get people to agree with your perspective by withholding the pussy, obviously your perspective doesn't have very much behind it in the way of rationality or reasoning or intelligence. If the only thing you've got is holding back the pussy, then there's probably something wrong with your opinions and beliefs, isn't there? All right, where are my notes? Let's talk some more about liberals. This is another train of thought that's come to me from actually going out in the world and interacting with people, something you liberals don't do. Unemployment's going up, even though the Messiah is president. That's odd, because he passed that package and he told us that it was going to save the economy. He said, if we don't spend all this money, we're going to go into a recession. And we spent the money and we're still in a recession. I can't figure that one out. Anyhow, liberals. Liberals, what? Hold on. Why did this just beep? We are having computer problems. Hang on. Okay, not computer problems, just computers making noises. It's all good. See, now I've lost my train of thought, which isn't hard to do. It derails at the slightest provocation. All right, liberals are suddenly unemployed. Actually, a lot of liberals have been unemployed before because they're liberals. But here's the point. There's a point to this, I'm telling you. Liberals, for all you out there that are unemployed, I don't understand, why is this a big deal? Look. Companies, whether they're corporations, whether they're small businesses, whatever, companies that would hire you and pay you are engaged in a thing called capitalism. You liberals hate capitalism. So what makes you think, why should you have a job? What makes you think anybody would hire you? You know, speaking as somebody who has owned a business, been co-owner of a business, and somebody who has managed a business, I would never knowingly hire a liberal Democrat to work for me. Liberal Democrats are opposed to capitalism. They hate the free market. They're opposed to money. They're opposed to people having wealth. They're opposed to rich people. They're opposed to making profit. They're opposed to working. They're opposed to showering and taking a bath. Look at all the things. If you are an employee and you hire a liberal Democrat and you pay the liberal Democrat, that liberal Democrat is then going to use that money to support Democrat politicians who are going to regulate your business. The liberal Democrat is going to use that money to support, okay, in yes, it's true, Republican employees are going to use the money you pay them to support Republican politicians who, interestingly enough, are also going to raise your taxes, regulate you, and fuck you over. But the thing is, Republicans are stupid. Democrats are evil. And so we're not talking about the stupid people today, we're talking about the evil people. Democrats are going to use the money you pay them to work for you, assuming they're doing any work, to support politicians who are going to try to put you out of business. So as an employer, it makes no sense to hire somebody who is a liberal Democrat. And so for you people out there who are liberal Democrats and who don't understand why you can't find a job, maybe this is a factor. I'm just saying, think about it. During the interview, at any point, are you giving away the fact that you're a liberal Democrat? You know, like on your resume, do you have your volunteer work you do for Greenpeace or PETA or anything? Because I see that on a resume. It's going in the garbage. So I'm just saying, while you liberals are trying to shut down the economy, I mean, you're trying to raise taxes, you're trying to socialize medicine, you're preventing people from smoking in bars, which is keeping people who smoke from going to bars and spending their money. You're doing all of these things. You're trying to raise taxes so that we can do more welfare. All this shit. You're trying to do all this shit. And remember, what is the basic philosophy of liberalism? The basic philosophy, when you boil it all down, is the notion that we need to drag everybody down to the level of the lowest, stupidest, laziest person in existence. Because if anybody is better than that person, it's unfair. And that's the basis of everything that liberalism is fairness. Fairness defined as dragging everybody down to the lowest common denominator. Now, when you consider that your life as a liberal is devoted to dragging everybody down to the lowest common denominator, are you really surprised that you can't get a job? I mean, do you really think anybody wants to hire you to come into the place where they work, the business they own, whatever it may be, and try to drag everyone around you down to your level? Do you think somebody wants to pay you for that so that you can then take the money they pay you and support organizations and politicians that will then try to put your employer out of business or regulate your employer or raise your employer's taxes? There's a reason why you can't find a job. And here's a hint. It's not because of George Bush, who is not the president anymore and has not been the president for over a year. Now, this is, hold on, I need a drink of water. This is the part that this is all about. All of that was just building up. Here at CSU, we recently had a little controversy. And I'm not going into detail about the controversy now, because I'll do that in the future, because there's so many op-ed pieces on this that are just so amazingly fucked up. The entire Stating the Obvious will be devoted to this. A student suggested for an upcoming men's basketball team that people who wanted to support the CSU men's basketball team at this game show up dressed as Indians, because the team we were playing is the Cowboys, from wherever the Cowboys are from. I don't know and I don't care. It's irrelevant. He suggested CSU fans come to the game dressed as Indians, a Cowboys versus Indians theme. Oh my God, who doesn't exist, did the shit hit the fan. The fucking liberals and the diversity crowd and the Native Americans, they all went berserk. Because, get this, wearing the clothes, dressing up like people from another culture, is racist. Now, there's so much I can do with this. Let me, for now, just point this out. Pants, you know, pants, the things that you may very well be wearing right now, on the bottom half of your body, pants, were invented by the Mongolians so that it would be easier for them to ride horses, shoot their bows and arrows, kill people, and invade other lands. So that means all of you out there who are wearing pants, you're dressed up like people in another culture. And you're racist. this whole thing with the Cowboys Indians, all of this is merely a subsection of what I think is possibly the single worst trait of the medicated generation, even more so than their need to convince people they're right or wrong by using their vaginas. And I think this is the worst aspect of the medicated generation, because I think this is the aspect of the medicated generation that is finally going to collapse our society. Maybe not collapse our society as in, you know, apocalypse and the world blows up and everybody's dying in the streets, but it's going to rob the American society of our freedom. Here's how this works. The medicated generation goes to college. They pretty much all go to college now, because you're just, it's what you do. Because a four-year college diploma is now what a high school diploma used to be. You pretty much have to have one. So all the members of the medicated generation, they go to college. And when they're in college, they have security. By this I mean they have security from other people. They can just sit there in the classroom like a bunch of zombies, and they don't have to worry about hearing any opinions that they don't like. They don't have to worry about hearing any diverse perspectives. You know, they don't have to worry about being exposed to any kind of thought that isn't politically correct and hasn't been sanctioned by the powers that be. They don't have to worry about anybody questioning Hussein Obama. You know, nobody's going to question socialized medicine. Nobody's going to question taxation or the income tax. I mean, nobody's going to question diversity or political correctness, anything like this. So, I mean, when somebody says something like, let's dress up as Indians, I mean, this is so incredibly offensive to the medicated generation. And it violates their sense of security. And from this comes the second aspect of what they experience in college. The first one being security, the second one being power. Because of political correctness, they have the power. I mean, obviously this Cowboys versus Indians event was canceled. Now, the newspaper, the Collegian, it was stated in there by CSU authority, well, of course, we have no authority to punish anybody who shows up wearing Indian clothes, or something to that effect. But, you know, the message was clear. If you show up dressed as Indian, it's going to be highly disapproved, and there could be consequences. So the medicated generation not only has the security from experiencing or hearing or being exposed to any perspective or idea that they don't want to hear, but if those perspectives or ideas raise their ugly head, the medicated generation, because the administrations of the college are so fucking terrified of them, the medicated generation has the power to shut those opinions down. Then there comes the day when the medicated generation graduates, right? I mean, they're in college, they've been there 5.5 years, they've finally gotten their 4-year degree, they graduate, they go into the quote-unquote real world, and I'm not talking about the thing on MTV or whatever the fuck it's on. They go out in the real world. In the real world, you don't have that security, and you don't have that power. Now here's the story. Some of you have heard this before, but I always use this because it's a perfect example. If I were sitting in a classroom, let's say that it's Friday, and we're in this classroom, and we're sitting there, and we're discussing stuff. And we go, okay, for the next class session, we need to do this. Yeah. So for class on Monday, we need to have this homework done. And somebody says, well, we don't have class on Monday. And I would say, oh yeah, that's right. We don't have class on Monday. It's Nigger Day. Because it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and there's no class because it's a holiday. Now, if I said, It's Nigger Day, in reference to Martin Luther King Jr. I'll pause for everybody to call me a racist. Are you good? Yep, I said the word nigger. Yes, I did. Okay. And you're making my point for me, so just keep fucking listening, and you're going to see where I'm going. If I said it's Nigger Day, referencing Martin Luther King Jr. Day, whew, in a college classroom, I mean, the shit that would hit the fan would be so fucking huge. I mean, I would be removed from campus. You know, I would be attacked by the administration, by the president, by the dean, you know, by the op-ed people in the school newspaper. I would absolutely be savaged, and I would most likely be expelled from school. And this is what I'm talking about. The medicated generation has this level of security from things like the word nigger, and they have this ability, this power, to absolutely destroy and remove from their presence somebody who says the word nigger. Now, you go into the real world. And here's why I use this example. This happened to me some odd years ago when I lived in Houston, Texas. It was a Monday, and I lived in an apartment complex, and it's one of those where they have this big bank of mailboxes. All the mailboxes are in one place. So I went over there, and I went to my mailbox, and I looked in there, and there was nothing in the mailbox. There was another guy over there, and I said to him, "Hey, look at that, you know, no mail today, I did good," or something to that effect. I made some comment. And he looks at me and said, "Yeah, there's no mail delivery today. It's Nigger Day." Now that's, and you know what? Aside from the fact that I'm not a member of the medicated generation, here's the point. In the real world, there's nothing you can do about that. In the real world, when somebody says the word nigger, you can't have them removed. You can't write op-ed columns. There's no administration to call that person bad names. There is nobody to come and evict that man from the apartment complex. There was no apartment complex newspaper to write letters to talking about how he's racist, sexist, and homophobic, and all this other shit. So the medicated generation comes from this environment, college, where they're secure and they're sheltered and they get whatever they want whenever they want it because everybody's so terrified of them. And they go into the quote-unquote real world. I need to stop saying quote-unquote. And in the real world, suddenly for the first time in their life, they're exposed to things like people who are racist. People who really are sexist. Not the kind of sexism that happens on college campuses. You know, I've read these things to you before where they say, well, even looking at a girl is sexual discrimination. Or even looking at a girl could be considered sexist. You know, because you're looking at her because she's attractive, and that's sexist. I mean, you go out in the real world, you find real racism. You find real sexism. You find real discrimination. You hear people say words like cunt and nigger, and sometimes they're directed straight at you. And these medicated generation kids, they're 24, 25, 26 years old. And because they've never had to deal with this before, by either, you know, sucking it up or by defending themselves or whatever, you know, for all their years of college, they never had to deal with these events. They dealt with the events by running to the administration and crying, and the administration steps in and corrects it. They get into the real world. They experience this stuff. They don't know what to do. They can't cope with it. They're not psychologically capable of dealing with the fact that there are people on the planet Earth that have opinions different than their opinions. Now, here's why I think this is so incredibly fucking dangerous to our society in regards to freedom in our society. as the medicated generation is going out into the world and discovering they don't have this security and this power that they're so used to having, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to start bringing that security and that power from the colleges into the real world. They're going to start passing laws. I mean, you have speech codes on college campuses. Believe me, it's not going to be long until we see the speech codes extended out across all fragments of our society. I mean, it's already starting to happen in workplaces, things like that. But just as you can't smoke in a bar, and pretty soon you won't be able to eat meat in a bar, and the day is coming when you won't be able to drink alcohol in a bar, there's also going to be the day when you're not allowed to even say things in a bar that are not politically correct. All of this because all of their insecurity, all of their inability to deal and to cope with people who have different opinions than them, they're not going to be able to mature out of this and deal with the fact that other people have other thoughts. So their only other option, because remember, the medicated generation is primarily liberal Democrats. What did I say earlier? When you take liberalism and you reduce it down, all the way down, the purpose of liberalism, the whole driving point behind it, is to drag everybody down to the lowest common denominator. So when these people go out into the world, they're not going to adapt to themselves to be able to cope with things like people saying, let's dress up as Indians, or people saying the word nigger. What they're going to have to do is drag everybody else down to their level. They are emotionally incapable of handling any diversity of opinions. And so they're going to make sure that diversity of opinions is stifled, because that's the only thing they understand. While there are many reasons I think the medicated generation is dangerous to our society, this may in fact be the greatest danger they pose, especially when you consider that, I mean, and there, it's like anything, there's some levels here. Hang on, I need a drink. I mean, discouraging people from saying the word nigger is not something I exactly have a problem with. Excuse me. But political incorrectness is reaching new levels. I mean, we're reaching this point where even things like, and I'm going to talk about this. I have the news clips where people on television being interviewed actually say outright, if you disagree with Hussein Obama, the first and the second, you are racist. Disagreeing. It's one, you know, if there's some guys and they're wearing white sheets and pillowcases over their head, and they've got a black person and the black person is swinging on a noose and he's dead, I mean, that's racism. Okay? I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm not okay with them doing that. I'm okay with saying that's racism. All right, I think we can agree on that. When somebody says the word nigger, we're getting pretty nebulous, because what's the context and all this other shit? And aside from that, how about that free speech? But when political correctness has come to encompass, if you disagree with a black person, if you disagree with a black person's opinion, you're a racist. And when the medicated generation is going to go out into the world and need legal protection, need protection of law, need protection by force, need protection by legislation from racism, and when racism includes disagreeing with the opinion of somebody who's black, I mean, when racism includes wearing clothes from another culture? I mean, what? And by the way, so what the fuck are the natural clothes of Caucasians in North America anyhow? I mean, what can you wear that didn't come from another culture and makes you racist? But anyhow, I mean, when all these trivial, tiny things become such overpowering and great offenses to the psyche of these pathetic little fuckers in the medicated generation, and when they have to be protected from all of these things because they're just so goddamn fucking fragile that they can't handle somebody disagreeing, they can't handle somebody with a different perspective, they can't handle somebody who's, you know, I mean, if nothing else, when I was a kid, these people were just assholes. And you just said, yeah, that guy's an asshole, fuck him, and you went on about your business. I mean, they can't even, they're not even capable of doing that. When they encounter somebody that does something that is offensive to them, something must be done. That person must be silenced. And it's not just you walking away from that person and ignoring that person. Or it's not just you saying to that person, you know, you're a fucking asshole, I'd really appreciate it if you just stay out of my space. No, no, no. It has to be legal action. It has to come from the top down. You know, the government or the administration or whatever it is has to lay down a mandate and say, this will not stand, and you have to have public apologies, and you have to have letters to the editor, you have to have op-ed columns, and you have to have sit-ins, and you have to have fucking discussion groups, and you have to have learning moments, and teachable moments, and all this other shit, just because these little fucking medicated generation pussies have these fragile egos that they can't handle the thought that somebody disagrees with them, which, when you think about it, is the fucking ultimate in arrogance. The notion that everything you believe and everything you think and everything you've been taught is what's right, and that anybody who disagrees with you is not just wrong, but is outright evil, that they are outright bad people. And again, this is another similarities. This is why I don't understand why liberals and Christians don't get along with each other, because they're exactly the fucking same. Christians believe that if you don't believe in their God, and their God exactly as their God is outlined in their version of the Bible, even though they all have the same Bible, but somehow or another it means different things to different people. Well, then again, it's like the Constitution. Maybe it's a living document like the Constitution. I mean, the Second Amendment doesn't really say you have a right to bear arms, does it? It's a living document. Maybe the Bible is a living document. That would explain so much. Oh my God, that does explain so much. Again, for liberals, they worship the Constitution, and it's a living document. So they just make up what it means in order to suit what they need. Christians are the same way. They worship the Bible. The Bible is a living document. They make up what the Bible says so as to get whatever they want. They, you know, the Bible says you shouldn't get abortions. Where? The word abortion is not in the fucking Bible. You know, the Bible says God hates fags. Really? Where? Where's that part at? I can't find it. God hates fags. Really? You know, liberals. Liberals think the Constitution mandates national health care. Really? I don't see that. Liberals think the Constitution mandates a right to privacy. It doesn't. It should. Obviously, it should. We need it. But it doesn't. Liberals think the... Now I'm getting excited. Liberals think the Constitution has a right to an abortion in it. Just like the Bible, you can't find the word abortion in the Constitution either. So both liberals and Christians are hallucinating about the presence of the word abortion in their living document of choice. Now, I know this had a point when I start... Randy, what the fuck? Oh, yes! Okay, so Christians and liberals are exactly alike. Christians think that if you don't agree with them and their interpretation of God and their interpretation of the Bible and all this other shit, that you're going to go to hell. Liberals think that if you don't agree with them about their interpretation of society and the Constitution and political correctness and all this other shit, you're going to go to hell, and they're going to send you to hell. They're going to do everything they can to make you see the error of your ways, because if you do not agree with them in every single possible way, and if you don't agree with their scripture and their doctrine, then there's something wrong with you. Just like the Christians are going to say, if you're not a believer in my faith, you're a bad person and you're going to hell. Liberalism says, if you do not agree with me, my political beliefs, which are all obviously the right and only you are a bad person. You're an evil person. Now, many of you are saying, but great one, don't you pretty much constantly insinuate that anybody who disagrees with you is a fucking idiot? Yes, I do. I do. I don't insinuate that. I'm saying it. If you disagree with me, you're a fucking idiot. Is that clear enough for you? And you're saying, but great one, didn't you, in fact, even in this very issue stating the obvious, didn't you refer to liberals as evil people and Christians/Republicans as stupid people? Yes, I did. Let me say this again. If you vote Democrat, you're evil. If you vote Republican, you're stupid. Are we clear? So then, great one, aren't you guilty of doing exactly what you're accusing them of? And the answer is no. Here's why. Here's the difference, okay? I am making absolutely no effort, nor do I have the desire to make any effort, to stop the people who are stupid, Republicans, or the people who are evil, Democrats, from talking, from expressing their opinions, anything else. I do want to remove them from my country. We talked about that at the beginning. You buy them the plane ticket. I do want them, if they're unhappy here, instead of changing everything about our society to fulfill their own personal needs and desires, if they're that unhappy in our society, I want them to get the fuck out. I can express themselves all they want. What I don't want is them making laws that prevent the rest of us from expressing ourselves. And that's the difference. Both the Republicans and the Democrats, the liberals and the conservatives, will be happy to find assorted ways to make laws and regulations that prevent people from disagreeing with them. And not just in the manner of speech. I mean, you want to smoke some marijuana? Oh no, we disagree with that. War on drugs. We're going to make laws against that. You want to smoke in a bar? No, we're going to make laws against that. We're going to suppress. This is the difference between me and all those people. Yes, they're stupid. Yes, they're evil. But I have no desire to suppress them. I do have the desire to stop them from suppressing me.